206-2237.
KC, closing some schools. Why? While the U.S. lays out a set of common school standards, this is a good fair or foul, a new poll shows the president is actually more popular than Congress. What? With those midterm elections coming up, should be pretty interesting, but we've been saying that all along. I think the fairy tale is over for some that are seeking to be reelected, and you may see some new faces in the next Congress. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Thrilled as always to be the captain of the ship called America tonight as we sail from coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Coming up, we're going to talk about guerrilla restaurants. And in our second hour of America tonight, it's worth mentioning in this very first segment here on ATN, our pal Harry Rinker, the guru of all things collectible, will join us to talk about what's happening in the industry. And boy, I know I've said this a million times, but in the last 2 years, I have seen some amazing things go on eBay for sale and either go sky high or you can get it for a song. And a lot of people are just selling stuff. They just flip open their garage, put up a sign, and they are selling. And if you have the right kind of eye and you're looking around for something, because you don't have a lot of do-re-mi, you could find that incredible bargain. I think this is the time to find really super good bargains. But speaking of bargains, are they still bargaining when it comes to health care? They, in this case, the Democrats mostly, the Republicans are pretty much on the sidelines, no doubt about that. But what kind of deals are being made? Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, was pretty brave to say that they are very close to this health care deal. It's like this tease that never ends, and it started back in August. So the president is in Missouri. He said it's time to take the vote. He's been kind of hitting lots of different towns, maybe your hometown, to wave the flag, so to speak, for health care legislation. And while he was doing that at the Capitol, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, says that after days of secretive talks, the Democrats are really pretty close to coming up with this accord on those subsidies to help lower-income families get insurance and more aid for states under the Medicaid program for low-income Americans and additional help for seniors who face kind of that coverage gap under, a lot of people do actually, under the current Medicare drug plan, whatever that means, all mashed up into one. So there were no details, that's why I'm saying that. And other than the rhetoric that was put out there, while there were others who say that any final deal would still hinge on what we keep saying on this show, cost estimates. How much is it going to cost? And who determines what it's going to cost, or at least throws a dart at the board? Well, the Congressional Budget Office, naturally. So you have people in the House who say they were that what's probably going to happen is we're likely to impose a new payroll tax of as much as 2.9% on investment and dividend income earned by wealthy taxpayers, most likely. Also, the legislation would include a tax on high-cost insurance plans, kind of along the lines of an agreement the White House negotiated late last year with labor. So truly, the fate of this version of health care reform certainly is at stake, and I think a big, big blow to Obama's administration if something isn't passed. But the key number and the key sticking point is the 30 million people, and that's a guesstimate too, by the way, the 30 million people who don't have insurance. And so where do you go from there? Banning insurance company practices like the denial of coverage on the basis of pre-existing medical conditions. So it's the same drum that we see that's being beaten on this race to try to get something passed, but yet nothing specific. Okay, we emerge from these secret meetings, and we feel like we're really, really close. And here's some of the scuttlebutt, but no specifics on this yet. However, all of us, every single one of us, are affected by this legislation. I mean, I'll say it again. I don't care if you're dirt poor, somewhere in between, living check to check, or filthy, stinking rich. It's going to change the way health care is parsed out. I mean, even from your little old checkup to some kind of a heart surgery, some kind of a life-saving treatment, if you will. So you have Obama, who was campaigning near St. Louis, pushing hard to try to get people on board for this domestic piece of legislation. And then Nancy Pelosi back on home turf saying, geez, we're really, really close. Just to throw it out there, there is this other party, the Republicans, and they say they're going to do everything they can to stop the plan and to go after the Dems in next, the ones who are running in next fall's midterm elections. So, in fact, the Republican rank and file issued a letter pledging to strip out any provisions that don't adhere scrupulously to complex rules. That sounds like a mouthful, doesn't it? That means if you're trying to get a favor in there, we're going to find it and we're going to take it out. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take it out. So the fight continues. Who knows? Is there going to be a final vote in the next couple of weeks? I would say that there's lots of opposition, but I think there's the massive push to make it happen. Only we don't know what's going to be included in this piece of legislation, and I keep saying this over and over again, and that's the scary part for, I believe, every single one of us, because we do have a stake in this, but we just don't know what specifically the legislation is going to say, because it's being, you know, the finagling that's going on behind the scenes, we don't know those specifics. Specifically, here's one thing we do know, and it is kind of worth mentioning this at the top, since I know we have a lot of listeners in the Florida area. Boy, and I've got a bunch of family there. I think I said this in November. I toured those trees, you know, the orange groves. And it was cold when I was there, but boy, it got worse the last couple of months. So Tropicana, what they've done is they have gone to shrinking their orange juice cartons and jacked up the prices. Yeah. I mean, the most popular size that they sell, they decreased it by about 8%. It's a 64-ouncer, and they dropped it to 49. So, again, feeling PepsiCo owns Tropicana, they feel like they have no choice because of the decimation of this crop. Florida is the nation's top orange producer, and the deep freezes have crippled oranges. In fact, how bad is it? They say it's supposed to be 19% smaller than last year's. Yeah. Remember you could get an orange juice like when you went to IHOP or wherever for a song? Now it's going to cost you a little bit more. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking to the pizza man. Stay with us here on ATN.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 and yourhcg.com. We love you.
Originally, we the people have entrusted government to be the guardians of currency, to ensure purity, content, weights and measures of gold and silver coins citizens would use for commerce. This reinstalled confidence after the demise of the fiat continental system, wisdom being lost with time. The government we once entrusted to protect from counterfeit has colluded with private business, creating the largest fiat counterfeiting scheme our country ever experienced. This is not only a transfer of power to an institution that is not accountable to our elected government, but has also caused the dollar to lose more than 90 cents of its original value. Now foreign governments are trying to divest themselves from this once world reserve currency. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm offering a book that explains how the system works. Call me today at 800-686-2237. I will give you a silver dollar free just for purchasing the book. Call today at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
An angel, an apology, and the dungeon. Ooh, lots of hints in there. It's like Sudoku when you turn into this show, only we don't have numbers, so you can't play along that way. All right, you know how much I love pizza, and we like to talk about food here on America Tonight. But how do you survive? We've been talking a lot about this. In fact, every week we've done something food related. How do you just survive when you're an entrepreneur in the food business, a restaurateur in the food business? And I'll tell you, some people are really making it happen. They're thriving and surviving. One of my favorite foods is pizza. I mean, I make no secret of that. I grew up in that New Jersey, New York quarter, and people fight all the time. Since I was a kid, I can remember arguments over who has the best pizza. Well, we're going to introduce you to somebody we talked to a year ago, Jay Gerrier. And he's got something going on called Cane Rosso, and it's pizza, baby. And it's pizza in a big city. It's pizza in Dallas. And there's a twist to this pizza, man. How do you sell enough pies to survive and thrive? Hey, Jay, how are you?
Good, Kate. How are you?
So that's the question. How do you sell enough pies to thrive more than survive? How do you do it to thrive?
Well, you know, we've had to get creative. And I think, you know, you're right. We talked about a year ago, and I had just really launched our mobile catering business. You know, I've been wanting to open a restaurant for a long time, but with the economy and the cost to get into a restaurant, it's just really cost prohibitive, especially for an independent entrepreneur where most of the banks and traditional lenders are looking for big chains and kind of formulaic stuff. They're not really interested in the independent entrepreneur. So I kind of embarked on this mobile oven where we mounted a wood-burning oven on a trailer, and we just started doing catering. all around Dallas. And, you know, we got some really good attention because without all the overhead of a restaurant, we could really focus on quality ingredients, and we started to build a real good word of mouth that way. And now we're kind of into our next evolution where we still would like to open a restaurant, and the climate is actually, the lending climate is awful for restaurants, but the market for rent and for contractors has vastly improved because now people are looking to do deals. So there could be a restaurant in the future, you never know. But what we've done is we've gone to a couple of places around Dallas and said, hey, you guys have a restaurant. You close at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Why don't we open it up as a pizzeria a couple of nights a week? And we just started this in January, and it's been a huge success. It just gets crazy. We have an hour wait just from word of mouth on Friday and Saturday, selling pizza out of our little mobile oven out in front of this little it's a little chocolate shop / tea shop, and we converted to a pizzeria at night. So it's been pretty exciting.
Wow, there's a term. A lot of people are calling it guerrilla restauranting. I like that term. Do you like that idea?
We kind of embrace that too, and we run it like a guerrilla restaurant. I mean, we just kind of pop up in the middle of the night and set up. I mean, they close at 4 and we open at 5, and it literally takes us just 30 minutes to convert the restaurant. We take their table settings off, put our table settings out, get the oven fired up front. I bring in my staff. And we turn it and go, and we go from 5 o'clock until the dough runs out, and it's turned into a great neighborhood spot. It's BYOB with no corkage, so everybody in the neighborhood really seems to like that. They can bring whatever they want to drink, and we serve up great pizza, salad, appetizers, and desserts, and everybody's been having a good time. It's been a real nice neighborhood spot. We already have regulars, and we get people that come in and they start pulling tables together. So what starts off as a table of 2 usually ends up as a table of 12 or 14. And so it's been not only a lot of fun, but it's been really, really successful for us.
When you started hauling this wood burning oven around, basically, did you think it would turn into this, Jay?
Not really. I've had been wanting to do this mobile wood burning trailer for a while. I said, hey, this sounds like it could be fun and lets me do the exact kind of pizzas that I want to do. And I'm kind of very far right wing on pizza, very strict Neapolitan tradition. And, I can now do the kind of stuff I want to do without any compromises. And you never know. I mean, that kind of very strict Neapolitan style pizza is off-putting to some people. It's a very different style. Style than like New York style, and certainly different than Pizza Hut, Papa John's, but people have really, really embraced it. So I mean, I thought it would be successful. I didn't think it would be this successful. So it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I think no one's more surprised than my wife. She said, "Oh, she can't believe how busy we are."
Yeah, that's very, very cool for you. Would you suggest this? I mean, there's people listening all around the country, and some of them have the same kind of desire as you. Maybe it's a different type of food, but they could maybe do this in Lexington, Kentucky. They could maybe do this in parts of Illinois or Florida or New Mexico or Austin, Texas. What were the tips you would give to somebody that you could maybe share your little secret with in other spots?
And I think you're right. I mean, I think that this is there are a lot of people, like myself, that are in their, early 40s that have been in kind of generic corporate America for a long time and either get downsized or just fed up with it and want to kind of control their own destiny and have a penchant for food service or like food. I mean, you really have to like food. I mean, the one drawback is, I hardly ever eat pizza anymore, and I used to love pizza. And I always tell my wife, it's a good thing we didn't open a brewery because that would be bad. But, it's been, I think the key is in the restaurant space anyway, you're starting to see a lot of traction around the whole idea of food trucks or mobile business. I mean, they're very popular in New York. They're very popular in Austin. And so what it is if you have something that you're really passionate about, chances are you can make a mobile business out of it. You just have to be willing to invest in kind of the training and be able to handle the volume expectations. And then, it's certainly a lot cheaper to outfit a mobile food truck. You know, you could be rolling out the door for probably $40,000 or $50,000 versus a restaurant is, you know, probably at a minimum $300,000 to $400,000, and then a lot more overhead and expense. But I mean, you really have to be willing to work insane hours. I mean, I do practically everything myself. I mean, I make every dough ball, I crush every tomato, I make all the fresh mozzarella. So you really have got to be wanting to do it just right. And then, you know, I'll tell you the other thing that's been huge is the whole the explosion of blogs. I mean, hooking up with influential bloggers that will kind of help promote your product. And, you know, social networking, Facebook and Twitter has been huge for us. And especially, you know, Twitter really works well with the mobile business, because people kind of like to be kind of on the inside where you can tweet where you're going to be, and then you kind of, it's like a little secret club where everyone's excited. Hey, I got the tweet where Connie Rose is going to be. So it's, you know, you really need to be, you know, passionate about food, be willing to put in a ton of hours, and really stay up on top of the social media and electronic media to reach your customer base. I mean, we don't do any print marketing. I don't think the only thing I've spent money on is you know, making some T-shirts and having business cards printed. Other than that, everything else has been word of mouth and kind of, I guess, guerrilla marketing through Facebook and Twitter.
Wow, some great advice for people listening, certainly. And then you have jobs for people, too, because you've got people that are serving, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we went from, you know, last year when I talked to you, we had a staff of two, me and one other guy. Now we've got a staff of 11. So, you know, we've got, you know, 4 to 5 servers, depending on the night, a manager, dishwasher, prep person. And I've got now, you know, 3 great pizzaioli that I've been, you know, working with for a long time. And they're really fast. And, you know, the other thing, too, with the economy, I've been really lucky. So, you know, the people that we're getting to work for us are not these, you know, 18-year-old high school kids that are just looking to clock in and clock out. I mean, I've got guys, you know, servers are real passionate about the product. And I've got pizza makers now where before it used to be, hey, somebody just wants to make a couple bucks an hour to make pizzas and get out. You know, these guys are, I mean, they're like me. They're researching on the Internet all, you know, what's the best pizza in America and seeing what we can do to bring that to Dallas and, you know, what kind of tips and techniques are they doing. So, you know, we've got 11 really, really passionate people about pizza. So that's been, you know, a really nice benefit, too. And I think that helps drive the success, is all of our customers can see that, you know, we're not in this just to make a buck. We're in this because we really love the product we're putting out.
Yeah. Well, so that was interesting stuff. Jay, continued success, and thanks for stopping by once again on America Tonight.
All right. We'll check in next year.
I love that. Jay Gerrier, he gave you guys some, he gave you the handbook. So $40,000, what if you get a little bit of a loan? If you knew you had a good product, you could make that up pretty easy. And you could do your own mobile food business wherever it is you're listening to us. All right, hang with us. On the flip side, an interesting 911 call. Stay with us.
Spring is here, growing season. The economy is not getting any better. In fact, it's getting worse. Think about it. At this rate, how will your life be in a month or even a year? Maybe you've been putting things off, but the time to act is now. The country is running out of food. You need to get your seeds before it's too late. At OrganicaSeed.com, you'll find one of the largest online selections of heirloom seeds, survival seed packs, as well as the giant vegetable seed collections that can feed you and your family for years. Grow your very own fresh vegetables, wheatgrass, fruits, herbs, rice, tea, coffee, and tobacco. With detailed growing guides available to you at no charge, you can maximize your harvest and investment. And the best part? All orders ship within 24 hours. So head over to OrganicaSeed.com. That's OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You don't have to be in the military to enjoy military surplus savings. Right now at MaineMilitary.com, you'll find savings on the top must-have military supplies. M10 gas masks for $12 or 3 for 30. Gas mask hoods $4 or 3 for 10. Mask filters $6 or 3 for 15. Save big on British chemical suits, only $12. Israeli gas masks $20. Trigger finger gloves $5 a pair or $36 a dozen. Snowshoe binding for $8 or $48 a dozen, and so much more. Even hard to find surplus items, all at surplus prices. Preparing the whole family has never been so affordable at MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com, one of the last surviving true surplus stores in the country. Shop now at MaineMilitary.com or call 877-608-0179. That's 877-608-0179 today.
In today's world, a product comes along that revolutionizes the way we live, work, and play.
MaxFit makes your hands go wow. MaxFit makes your hands go wow.
MaxFit Gloves is the next generation of Think Glove technology.
It makes everything you do with your hands feel easier without losing the ability to touch and feel.
Wow!
Whether you're working in your garden, moving furniture, driving a car, or opening a jar, MaxFit has thousands of uses.
It helps the grip of arthritic hands.
It even helps me play my video games better.
Wow!
From the moment you slip your hand into a MaxFit Glove, you'll experience the ultimate in grip, comfort, dexterity, and health.
MaxFit.
For more information on the next generation of Thin Glove technology, go to MaxFitGloves.com. That's M-A-X-F-I-T Gloves.com. And use the promo code RADIO to get a special deal.
Wow. MaxFit makes your hands go.
Wow.
Sad news at the top of this segment. A total of 389 banks had troubled asset ratios above 100 at the end of December. You know, that's up slightly from the 369 banks in September. Now, just so you know, what does all that nonsense mean? Well, it means a ratio above 100. It specifically means a bank had more troubled loans than money set aside to cover the potential losses. Boy, we hate hearing that. The FDIC closed 140 failed banks in 2009, including 45 in the fourth quarter alone. Nearly all had terrible levels of bad loans. That was the key common denominator. So let's hope that that turns around. The FDIC said 702 banks were on their troubled bank list at the end of 2009. That shot up from 552 just 3 months earlier. So still troubling times in the banking industry. It's tough to shed a tear, isn't it, when we think of those big banks. Too big to fail. All right, speaking of failing, more bleak news. GMAC, that bailout could cost taxpayers $6.3 billion. It is We Can Count, after all. The government said the $17.2 billion bailout was a necessary step to save General Motors and Chrysler. And, of course, GMAC provides critical financing to who? Auto dealers who borrow to finance their fleets until the cars can be sold to consumers. So there you go, $6.3 billion. Boy, we need some uplifting news, don't we? I'm going to give you one. How many calls to 911 with a three-minute response team does it take for one seven-year-old boy to become a hero? And the answer to that is just one call. But actually maybe many calls, practice calls. So little Carlos in California was taught by his mother how to call 911. It's an emergency, what to say, all that sort of stuff. Lo and behold, his little sister, they think, left the door open. Some bad guys came in, robbers, who went after the mother and father. The seven-year-old boy took his little sister, went into the bathroom, and called 911 and told the dispatcher about the emergency, described it. Hurry up, send help, and send soldiers, too. The key thing is, how calm, cool, and collected was this cat at that very, very young age? So it was ultimately just one phone call, but a whole bunch of practice calls that made that happen. So bravo to his mother and for that really sticking in that little boy's head. Here's another one with numbers. AccuWeather.com said on Wednesday that it expects five hurricanes to hit the U.S. coast in the 2010 Atlantic hurricane season. That starts, of course, the first day of June. You all knew that, right? About 15 of the tropical storms would hit land along the western Atlantic or Gulf Coast, according to the main forecaster who released all this. And he's predicting 16 to 18 storms during hurricane season. And it's interesting, you go back and you look to last year, 9 tropical storms hit the Atlantic basin in 2009. 3 of the storms increased in strength to become hurricanes, but it was relatively mild last year. Boy, you think to 2005 and just how awful that year was for hurricanes. And, you know, there's no way to know a certain system gathers out and comes in and collides where you have that cold air and then the warm air, and you know what that creates and ultimately. All right, let's give you some more of We Can Count since we started off on such a sour note. Here's a good one. Number two, the number two guy. The Taliban's chief is singing like a canary, they say. I love this. The captured guy, as they call him, Afghan Taliban number two, has become very vital to gathering information on extremists. Isn't that great? So finally, and I said this, we're starting to see things pay off in Afghanistan with some cooperation, the help of some cooperation anyway. So all of this counterintelligence in Karachi, Pakistan, is starting to pay off. And they nailed the second in command, who's having no problem discussing some of the things that have been planned and some of the potential hornet's nests of where there are bombs along dirt tracks, what are the tactics, all kinds of stuff. So this turned out to be a whopper of a capture, and this was cooperation that allowed this guy to be picked up, and he's got all kinds of ties with the insurgents, and it was Mullah Baradar, that's his name, who was arrested late January, and at least 3 other major Taliban figures, remember, have been picked up, along with about 12 of the second tier they call leaders. So I'm going to say that McChrystal's actions and then the cooperation has turned out to be excellent in the last probably 2 months in particular. That's where we're really seeing it happen. A lot of people make a big deal out of the Forbes list of the richest people. It's kind of depressing in a way, isn't it, when you see the numbers out there. I mean, bravo to the people who have made money at different things, and some of them spreading goodwill, and others, well, just had good fortune or knew the right people. You have Bill Gates, you have Warren Buffett, and Mexico's Carlos Slim have amazing amounts of do-re-mi. The richest one, though, is Carlos Slim. Yeah, I forget the amount of money they say that he spends in a minute, something like $30,000 in a minute. So you add all those minutes together in a year, and can you imagine? So he was number one when it comes to the numbers, and for this segment we can count. He was number one on the list, in case you were curious. How about that? Mercedes has a big number to worry about. In fact, Mercedes was ordered to pay $482,000 for a lemon. Yeah, you don't usually hear the words lemon and Mercedes, I guess, right, in the same sentence. Even though it might cost you a bundle, most people who have driven Mercedes, be they used autos or brand new ones, say, hey, this is a ride that holds its value. I can't tell you how many times people have said that to me. But a judge in Madison, Wisconsin, ordered Mercedes-Benz to pay that figure I just told you in damages and legal fees to a customer who was sold a defective car and wasn't given a refund on time. Vince Megna, a Milwaukee lawyer who represented the customer, said he believed the judgment is the largest, I think so too, involving a single car under a state lemon law. You know what lemon laws are. They protect consumers who are sold junk cars. So they got to pay it out. And it was a spat over a 2005 Mercedes-Benz E320, which had dragged on for 4 years. And, you know, it's interesting. When I heard the story, you look up lemon laws, and Wisconsin's is one of the strongest. I didn't know that. It allows pretty much customers who buy cars that don't run or can't be repaired to demand a replacement or a refund. And here's the catch. The manufacturers have 30 days to respond, and they can be ordered to pay double the purchase price plus legal fees for violating the law. So they take this serious. Very serious. And how about that lucky Mercedes owner who was frustrated beyond all belief that in the end won almost $500,000 thanks to the lemon laws? Man, you gotta love that. All right, here's another one for you. I don't get the 3D thing. I've been to some 3D movies, and I know a lot of people went to see Avatar in 3D, no matter what you thought of the context of the movie and whatever. And I've been with my nephew to see some 3D films with IMAX, and actually they're pretty good because they're shorter, and you know how IMAX is. It's either have the OmniMax where it's all the way around you, or the IMAX with a giant screen. And I have to admit, that's not bad. But I didn't want to see Avatar that way, and I have a feeling that more in the future we're going to see 3D and 2D. So Avatar lost all the awards, the big awards anyway, at the Oscars on Sunday, but the 3D film has earned, that movie, $2.6 billion worldwide. So somebody's liking that. Wow. Now, Tim Burton has a 3D fantasy flick out. I know some of you have heard of it, Alice in Wonderland. And it's already raked in $201.3 million worldwide box office bang. So we may be seeing more 3D films floating our way in the future. Is, you know, our flat screen movies, or I don't know what they would call them, flat movies, about to become a thing of the past. I think there's some movies where the 3D effect wouldn't quite work. I understand for a movie like Alice in Wonderland or Avatar, but you think of the chick flicks and those kind of movies, and no way. I mean, that I don't see that becoming the norm, but what do I know? 3D, to me, I think after a while I get tired of having those glasses in front of my eyes, especially if it's a long flick. Other people complain they get blurred vision and stuff. So maybe they've changed the technology and they've been able to tweak it a little bit. I haven't heard too many people say that can bring you both lately. Cash but, and you know, 9% of U.S. screens are actually equipped every to play 3D movies in the U.S.
For you,
and the
cost
for changing equipment
around the planet
are pretty high.
Shipping, billing, selling,
so
we
might not see
stress.
As many 3D as some of these movie makers.
Our co-op marketing program works for us, and now it can work for you.
All right, hang with us here on America Tonight because
time to enjoy your life. Time to enjoy your family, travel, sports, fun. Bring the perks back to your life. Moms and dads worldwide, even those with zero experience, all plug in and watch in amazement as DidYouRobBillGates.com delivers success and abundance to their lives. Now, no matter where on earth you live, get to DidYouRobBillGates.com right now. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking Climate Gate with Dr. William Gray and Jim Slusser, both of who've been PhDs and professors at CSU, Colorado State University. And kind of one of the issues that has arisen with the Climate Gate issue, and I'm just going to read from an article in Newsweek right now. Many of the emails referred to attempts to evade requests from critics for raw data, some of which comes from national meteorological offices that they sent Jones the data required confidentiality. And what I'm curious about, Barb, is who owns the data when you've got taxpayers funding the NSF or funding the National Weather Service? Who then owns the data that is used for creating or the input for these models?
Right.
And
that's something I think both of these gentlemen on the phones mm-hmm. can answer for us. Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Jim was in the ultraviolet B monitoring
yes,
program.
Was.
So
who
his program watched
yeah.
the sun.
Yeah, who owned the data when you were working? It was USDA, correct? And you had to report to them.
It was public domain once it's out on the web. And
so,
people are free to use it as long as they acknowledge where it came from. And if you're hardworking and honest, you put error bars and you let people know how reliable the data is.
So that they don't amplify any errors within measurement or collection or smoothing, right?
Well, you've got to say what you did with the data and whether you're averaging it or taking the mean or the extremes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of what this comes down to, is whose data is it and why should it be exempt from Freedom of Information
right.
requests? And
as these emails are beginning to show, much mm-hmm. of that data seemed to be inconvenient and was omitted. Yeah. It was not put out there in the public domain.
Dr. Gray, when you were putting together hurricane forecasts, was there any proprietary data that you looked at, or was everything essentially out in the open?
Oh, yeah, everything was out in the open. I mean, most of what I've done through the years has been federal funding. And, of course, that data's open. Mm-hmm. You would get requests for it. You would... Some people would request it and stuff, but the data is usually a dirty bunch of stuff and takes a lot of hard work and so on, and a lot of people don't want to get into it as deeply as they think they do once they get started with it. But with this climate data out of East Anglica, they were considered the people that were really at the bottom of telling whether the surface temperatures around the globe are really warming or not. And I know they were a select group that wanted it to warm. They had this, the more it warmed, the more they could have good press releases to show this, the more popular they became and the more the British government would fund them with grants and things, so they had a definite vested interest in having the globe continue to warm, and I'm not surprised at all that they might have played a few games with the data to, hide the decline. You know, we've had a little decline in surface global temperature the last decade. It's not much, but it certainly hasn't warmed much. And if they could fool a little bit with the data to show it wasn't cooling much or was still continuing to warm a little bit, they were in better shape to go back to the government to get more grants and more coverage of their research in the press and media.
Talk to me about Michael Mann and his hockey stick graphic. If we're going to hide the decline, a decline does not fit well if the last thing we provided a decade ago was the hockey stick. You know, you want to see that sharp upward spike in temperatures. Do you want to?
That's right. That's right. That was a complete phony portrayal of the global temperature, where they essentially took out the medieval warm period and made the 20th century warm much more than it really has. And when they analyzed his data and so on, it fell apart. And he was, you know, that was just terrible research. See, there's a lot of things you can do with the data, you see. Go in, maneuver it. Play various games with it, cherry pick it, and so on, to get the results you want. And what the big tragedy of this was, it was part of the third IPCC report, and others did not took it, and the IPCC accepted this as the truth, and it was only later that some Canadian scientists and other people really started looking at it, and the Congress had a special session of statisticians working on it where they found it just wasn't valid. It was wrong, and he was playing games with the data.
What data constituted the hockey stick? What did he include in that data set?
Well, it was a lot of tree data that went back a long way, and bristle pine type of trees, and he played various games. I didn't follow it that well because I never believed the thing anyway.
In the first place,
and I'm glad that it was shown to be fake, and he's going to pay a price for this. He is out. He has written some books and articles and things that are just wild about humans doing all these things. And I think in time he will largely discredit himself among his peer scientists.
Yeah. It almost seems like that's happening at a very quick pace, even as we speak. My understanding is that he had selected like 26 or 27, somewhere in the upper 20s, sets of tree rings out of a much larger data set, and that they were specific only to a portion of Siberia. And so it was like one location, a subset of all of the tree rings, and from there, you know, we tweak the data, and up we go in the late 20th century. But
he played. I think he did more than Siberia things, but
okay.
But he wasn't open to share his data and his method with others once they began to analyze it. They had a hell of a time trying to get him to say how he did it and share his data and so on.
Don't you just have to be open? Don't you just have to be open?
You're supposed to be open, but you don't.
Well, you're supposed to be open, particularly when it's such a pivotal, important thing, and you're convincing thousands of scientists around the globe.